Cows, green grass, fresh air, barefoot hillbillies, tractors, and jacked up trucks with loud music. Loud music, you ask? Why would there be loud music out in the country, you also ask? Believe it or not, in the country, there just isn't necessarily crooked tooth, barefoot hillbillies that many would picture. In the country, there is a certain culture and an almost established set of rules that the land follows due to sound. Let's first take a look at just what exactly a small town and what a small town atmosphere is like. I live in a small, dinky town that probably not very many people have heard of. In my small town, there isn't a fast food joint or a Walmart for almost 30 minutes. We have two grocery stores, a Casey's gas station, and four bars. In our town, teenagers really have nothing to do other than to go to school and drive around town listening to music. Our town is built on a huge hill with a designated cruise route around it. On every Friday night, you can find about every kid in the 9th through 12th grade at the Methodist Church parking lot listening to music and gathered in a circle talking and drinking. When kids wanted to fight or settle an argument, they would get in the middle of the circle and have a friendly neighborhood fight. And after the events would conclude, they would sit back down and conclude their conversations and just be best friends soon afterwards. Since we now know a little bit about the town, let's look at a little bit about the people. There are several groups of people and certain cliques that were in the town. There are the cowboys, the kids in FFA, the wannabes, the jocks, the geeks, the misfits, and the cool kids. Generally, the jocks and nobody got along, and of course the misfits and the cool kids didn't get along. One thing that united all of us, though, was the common thread of music. Although we all had different backgrounds and were from different families, we could all still hang out with the music. We could all find a reference point in each other when we would crank up our music and sit on tailgates and just talk. When a certain song would come on the radio, or when someone would turn up their radio, everyone else in the parking lot would give them their respect and turn their radios down and listen to the song too. Everyone would be able to conform to the music at the time and to be able to just sit and get along for the moment. It wasn't like just one person played the music for the whole night either. The music changed when different people would show up, or it would depend on the mood of the crowd. Generally, the one type of music that was played the most was country music, like Brooks and Dunn, Kenny Chesney, Toby Keith, Tim McGraw, and several other artists. We could all see a part of ourselves in everyone else when we were there at the parking lot. It was like we were as one when a song would come on that was popular. We would all stop the arguing or talking back and forth and put the beers down and start singing the song on the radio. Another writer, Paul Gilroy, also makes these claims too. Instead, he refers to the Black Atlantic, or the sound of reggae uniting people from coast to coast, and even in different nations. This was how it was in our small town. It was the fact that music was like a drug that would make all the bad things go away at the time. The music wasn't just a sound to us, it was also an escape. It just let us get away from all the other burdens that we had to put up with in high school and at home. It wasn't that we all had bad home lives, it was just a thing that teens did. We would just leave the house, go get our beer, and then go to the church parking lot and just chill out. The music wasn't just something that we would do on the weekends, it was a school time event as well. It was an escape during study hall. We would go to the computer, plug in our headphones, and just be mellow. We would also be able to broadcast songs from computer to computer and see what other kids were listening to and join them. The music in our town, believe it or not, was just a part of everyday life. It was a common routine. It's just as simple as getting up and brushing your teeth or taking a shower. The first thing I did when I got up, of course, was turn on the radio and then get in the shower and start singing in the shower. The music wasn't the only sound that played a big role in our town either. The music actually has a huge role in our economy. Whether or not that there is a direct tie to the economic state of the town, one can easily tell the teens are spending money in town and helping boost the economy of the town. One of my friends, Trevor, said that, "Man, I spend about $30 every Friday night on gas and food driving around." This is a big display of how teens help boost the economy of the town. The stores in the town, especially the gas stations, depend on the teens to drive around every weekend. The little grocery stores in town sell a lot more products on the weekends, too. There are always kids coming in and out of the store, according to Bill Gamut, the owner of Big G Foodland. Kids come in and spend money on pop and snack food to just sit around either at the church parking lot or down at the car wash. I know when we would always have to buy beer, we could give some money to some older friends and they would go get us some. Since we were also buying beer, the liquor store showed an improvement in sales too.
Same Saturday Safeway, then we turn back around to curfew, then head down to the river's edge, get drunk. Ain't nothing new, what else you gonna do out in Podunk?
Another thing that teens tried to do was to show off their ride and drive around with loud pipes and huge subs in the trunk or in the back of the truck. All the time, guys would especially try to show off and try to pick up girls by revving up the engine and laying a little rubber trying to get attention. It wasn't just the music that got the attention of the girls. The revving of the engines, loud pipes, and loud subs were also huge parts of the sound culture in our town. The loud pipes would almost set a hierarchy in the guys in our town. The louder the pipes, the higher you were ranked. The loud subs were the big thing that got the girls to come to the car or truck you were in. Most generally, the one with the loudest combined sounds would get the best girls to come to your ride. The loud sound of the revving engines was a big role too. The louder and healthier sounding the engine, the girls would know who to go to then. The revving of the engines created huge sex appeal for the guys and made it much easier for them to pick up girls. It wasn't just the sex that would result out of this. It was a reputation. It was a code to follow. The guy with the best girls wouldn't necessarily be the most popular guy. He would be the one with the best ride or sound. It was like an unwritten rule book that everyone knew about. Lots of times these rules carried through to school too. If you had a nice ride, you would have a good reputation or be remembered by all of the girls at least. The rules were also simple. Everyone knew them, and if you tried to break the rules, you suffered badly for it. Sometimes people would even try to challenge the top dog or to race them or try to mud against them. If you would lose, then you would be a social outcast. But then if you would win, you'd be a hero. I had a friend in high school, Garrett, and he said the cars weren't fast, might not have been the newest rides, weren't the best, but they were what we had, and what we had was loud. So if that gets the point across that everything we had in our town was loud, it sometimes might have been too loud, and that's where problems could occur. If you caused any problems in town and got in trouble with the local cops, you would usually just get a warning. But once you got home, the real punishment began. Your parents would generally be waiting up on you. Like what people have always heard from a small town, the news really does travel fast. Also in our town, the parents would know when exactly their child was going to pull in the driveway, because the loud subs and pipes could be heard from miles away. The funny thing about our town wasn't the fact that the cops let teens go. It was the fact that they were actually worse than the teens when it came to music. They didn't necessarily listen to the same music that we did when we would cruise around and listen to our tunes. The cops would actually be sitting at the courthouse and listening to old-time music like Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, and Bob Jones. When we were sitting at the church parking lot, it wasn't uncommon for the cops to stop by, listen to our music, sit down, and just talk to us. They weren't the only visitors we've had before either. The mayor of the town has stopped by, the pastor of the church, several parents, and even state troopers. It just goes to show that no matter what type of music, people can find a way to get along and to bond with anything. So, in conclusion, I challenge you to see what is the sound of your town, or the sound of your culture. Whether you find it or not, it is there, underlying all of the overlapping information in the rest of your culture. I know that Paul Gilroy and I would both agree that sound, music in general, is what can bring several different people with several different backgrounds together to achieve one common goal.